This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The Hamilton County Development Corporation, located in Norwood, has operated since the mid-1980s as an incubator for startup businesses. Over the past year, HCDC recognized that a gap existed in the support for businesses that had achieved some success, have at least $1 million in annual revenue, have at least 10 employees, but need assistance to continue to scale up. To address this challenge, HCDC has launched an Office of Innovation and Creativity to provide what they are calling economic gardening services. To discuss this new initiative, I am joined by the Director of Innovation Services, Carla Baldry, the Vice President and Director of the HCDC Business Center, Patrick Longo, and the Vice President of HCDC Economic Development Office, Harry Blanton. You are invited to join our discussion by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Dan.
Good to have you here. Pat, let's just begin with a basic understanding of what Hamilton County Development Corporation is and does. What are we looking at here?
Well, we're in the space of economic development. So we started back in the mid-80s doing small business administration lending, helping people, businesses, get a place to house their business so we can make a loan, okay? Then we also got into the area of, well, maybe we need to have a startup area here and an entrepreneurship center. So we created the business incubator in the late 80s, early 90s, and now it's mushroomed into a 72,000 square foot facility. And then, you know, our next piece is we're in economic development that Harry runs, you know, and that helps us with maintain relationships with businesses here in Hamilton County.
So over the past several months since I've been doing this show, we've had, we've had several accelerators on, but the business center is an incubator.
Yes.
What's that mean, and how many businesses are sort of contained inside that incubator?
Well, accelerators are put together to kind of help people put their plans together and then try to get a start. Hey, let's go out and raise some money. Let's put our brand together, things like that. And it's great. Very, very needed in the community, and we have 4, 5, 6 of those in the community. The business center is a little different. We're really an implementer of business plans. So someone comes in and says, hey, I want to raise money. Great, we can help you raise money, but we can also help you get customer traction, grow revenues, grow space. We have that flexibility. And the idea is we support that through coaching and mentoring that has allowed us to grow. That's really kind of the difference between accelerators and incubators, is that ongoing assistance from a point person, from a coach. You know, Carla, who we're going to hear from in a little bit, she was one of our coaches. I've been a coach for 22 years. That's one of the things that makes us different.
So how many businesses are inside the incubator at this moment?
If you can imagine, we have over 70 businesses right now.
Wow.
And it's kind of fascinating because those businesses, about a third of them got capital last year, about $22, $23 million worth of capital. And then they also did about $23, $24 million worth of revenue last year. So that's the thing. A company stays with us not for 15 weeks. They may stay with us for 2 to 5 years.
Okay.
So we really want to see somebody grow and expand.
So Harry, how do you measure success in an environment like that? What are you looking for?
So Hamilton County has an economic development strategy, and we try to focus on businesses that are going to grow the economy. And so job creation, investment, and property, those kinds of things are benchmarks where we look at our success based on how well we're growing jobs and getting companies to invest locally.
So what can you say about, I don't know what timeline you want to use, about the success of HCDC in terms of growing jobs locally?
Well, yeah, over those 35 plus years that we've been around, we've helped businesses invest over many billions of dollars and create tens of thousands of jobs. We have statistics that we can give you that really show the track record of HCDC. And so our traditional programs have been very successful at that, what we noticed was that there was a group of businesses that we were missing, what we call the second stage businesses. And so we decided to create the Office of Innovation to continue our services to promote economic development in the county.
So it's not just getting started, but it's what do you do after you've gotten started.
Exactly.
So, Carla, this is your area.
That's
so
correct.
What makes a business second stage?
Well, we define the second stage of a company that has reached out that $1 million of revenue, anywhere from $1 million to $50 million. And also on number of employee size, we're talking about 10 to 100 employees. That's what we're defining as second stage. And in reality, what we're doing is we're taking our experience and expertise on supporting businesses to now filling that gap. We found out through a research done last year, funded by Hamilton County, that's the best area to help businesses. That once they reach that million, because we understand that they have reached some type of success, we kind of leave them on their own. So we now come to fill in that gap and offer the services that are going to continue to help them grow.
So those are businesses that have shown some success, but show even maybe more promise.
That's correct.
If they get the right sort of support.
And if I could add, Dan, while these second stage businesses usually only represent about 15% of your businesses in your community, they usually represent about 35% of the jobs and also about 25% of job creation. So they kind of punch above their weight in terms of jobs. So when you're trying to grow your economy, one of the most important things is to provide jobs for the community. And so these companies, even though they're a small portion of the business community, they create a large portion of the jobs, so about 35% of jobs.
Why is that?
They're fast-growing. They're innovative. They have new products that are desired. It's kind of like a better mousetrap thing. They have a better product than is out there, and so they start to grow quickly because they have an innovative product.
Could somebody give me an example of a second-stage business that you're aware of or maybe you're working with and know that you could maybe be helpful to?
Absolutely. We are really excited because we got started with our very first company. Their name is Automated Machine Systems, and they create robots. They actually create robots mainly for the automotive industry. And they got started on the year 2000, and they've been growing steadily. We will be able to provide them strategic information in the form of research for them to try to define what is that next step. They have four core capabilities, so they're wondering whether they can go into different industries with those capabilities or if they can expand their geography with their current core competencies.
Now, is this a company that actually manufactures the robots, or are they getting the robots from someplace else and then are marketing them, selling them? What kind of company is this?
They actually are manufacturing these robots.
So the robots being created right here.
That's correct.
Are they operating in your space, or do they have their own space?
They have their own space.
Okay.
They have their own space.
And what size company is this? We said that, you know, second stage is anywhere from $1 million of revenue to $50 million. That's a pretty big spread,
yes,
at least in my world. So what size company would something like that be without giving away trade secrets?
Yes, I will say I am not sure if we want to disclose amounts, because that there is a confidentiality agreement with the companies that we work with. But I will say that definitely from their growth projections, because we look at that, we look at their history, they're looking to become a $50 million company within the next 10 years.
Okay.
So if that gives you an idea.
Sure. They're on their way up.
Yes. They're definitely growing. And I believe they have the potential with the tools that we will be able to provide for them.
So companies like this, I mean, that's pretty exciting. We are, you know, anybody who follows the news at all knows that robots, AI, These are big areas of growth in the future. The fact that something like that's happening locally is pretty important to our economy. And one of the things I sort of want to call attention to, because each of you have said it, I think, but I think we need to call it out, HCDC is something that is sponsored by Hamilton County government, right? This is Hamilton County is investing in this. This is not just some not-for-profit going on the side here.
Yep.
This is a conscious effort by the county government.
Right. So our department is the Hamilton County Economic Development Office. We're actually legislative designated by the county to run their economic development office. So they gave us additional funding last year to fund this 2 years ago, the research, and then last year to start this pilot program for the Office of Innovation. So it's very much a county program, definitely. Yeah.
So it's consciously, and as I remember back in the mid-80s, one of the things that really spurred the idea of getting the center going, getting the incubator itself going, was the announcement of the closing of the GM plant, because that was a real shocker to the county and everybody saying, we've got to do something here.
Well, Dan, this is an extension of what we do. You know, back in the 80s when the GM plant goes down in Norwood, this was our rational response. You know, this is our rational response to what's going on in our community right now. This is, you know, we've got this thing called Startup Cincy that's doing very, very well, and lots of players, lots of components. But what we're figuring out is this second stage needs attention, you know, these second stage ventures. And, you know, we're getting people knocking on our door, visiting with Carla regularly to say, hey, I want to be a part of this pilot program.
Yep.
You know, they want to be part of the 10 that we're going to be choosing. And we think this is important. I think this is, for us, just another innovative approach that we've done. We've, you know, we're one of the pillars of Startup Cincy, and now we want to be probably the initial or one of the pillars here in stage two.
Okay.
And I would just add, Dan, that we reached out to the entrepreneurial ecosystem, all the different entities, the accelerators, the incubators that work in the space, and kind of agreed with them that this is something that's not getting done in Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And so they're supporting us, and they're actually referring companies to us. So it's very collaborative with our partners.
Is it happening other places as well?
Yes.
So yes. It's not like we're totally out on our own on this one.
This is actually, I will say, the states that have established this type of program as a national program are those states that are leading on business development, and that is Florida, Louisiana, Kansas, and Michigan. So
that's an interesting grouping.
Yes.
Florida, Louisiana, Kansas, and Michigan.
Yes. So all of those states have actually established a similar program as a state program, really helping the second stage companies. And they've had great success.
So we were about to raise this question of economic gardening. Interesting imagery. borrow it from someplace. Carla, what is that?
So economic gardening is an economic development model, and this model was created by Chris Gibbons. It's an actual trademark topic, and Chris Gibbons created this as a response at the Martin Lockheed Company in Littleton, Colorado, as a response exactly to what we're trying to do. How do we generate more jobs? How do we grow the companies that we have in our region, more than trying to bring start companies, let's start growing those that we own. So that's the principle that economic gardening stands for, and it is like I said before, this program is a proven program. It's been established in at least 25 states here, and in the United States, and at least three or four states have made it a state program. Hmm. The economic gardening, what it really does is provides technical assistance for these companies. We move from on the startup phase being the consultant or the coach, we move to becoming the team of the company to try to provide the research that these companies might not have the time to get it done, or they might not have the ability to pay for this type of corporate research databases. So we try to find out what is that, I say it, is the $1 million to $20 million question that these companies have, and we will get the team to research that for them.
So let's give some practical examples here. What are some basic things, Harry or Pat, that, you know, might get tackled that Carla is sort of laying out?
So I think, as Carla was alluding to, we don't want a business coach. We want to do strategic thinking and support for them. So we ask them what their strategic issues are. So some companies don't have the ability to do market research in other parts of the country to find out if those would be good markets for their product. Wow. Or qualified sales leads. As Carla mentioned, we have access through this program to databases, business information databases that are very expensive. And so because we are a part of this program nationally, we have access to those databases
because
to do research.
Because you're part of the economic gardening.
Right. And there's a National Center for Economic Gardening that's part of the Lowe Foundation.
All right. And so you buy into that, and that gives you access to these databases.
Exactly.
And let's also talk about, you know, Carla's an incredibly connected person. So whether that be the local universities and connecting in with the student base, that's great. That's something we're trying to push. But also, hey, some professors that are out there that might be doing some research in your area that you may not be aware of. You know, we're very close with the University of Cincinnati, Xavier in Miami, doing a lot of jobs. You know,
so link them up and let students, let faculty do some of that research?
I will say that we bring a very good point, because the view is – We are focusing on three pillars of how we're going to deliver the services for this group, which is the technical assistance or economic gardening. We also want to make sure that the connectivity exists in between resources, in between these companies, and that they have a forum to share those best practices. So the connectivity is the second piece. And the third piece will be the strategic information. That's a very high level. Now, what our vision is to become that hub, to become the hub for this group that we feel that needs that extra support. And that's what Pat was mentioning. It goes beyond giving them a research paper that will help them make that decision. But what happens once they make that decision? They might need connection to capital, or they might need connection to resources. And we want to be that conduit for that to happen and keep the growth.
So what are you asking of a company in order to become part of this process? I guess there would be a significant number of companies out there who would like access to this kind of data, this kind of assistance. What do they have to do on their end in order to get involved?
So I'll just add, we want a commitment from the CEO or a high-level C-type level person because – we want to make sure that this information that we give them is going to be implemented, and so we're not wasting our time on a company that really might not go forward with what we suggest. And there's no money involved in this because it's a pilot program. We decided this year, because it is a new program, we wanted to get some feet under it.
No money in the sense that the company doesn't have to invest anything.
Exactly, that's yeah. Right. So they get access to a very important, expensive data for free for this first pilot program. So there's 10 companies that we're targeting this year. So they have to make that commitment. They don't have to pay any resources or any money. They just have to give us about, 10 or 12 hours, Carla?
10 to 12 hours of engagement time. That's correct.
Okay. And that's initially, and then that would open up possibly more time. Is that
Right? That's actually the 10 to 12 hours will be on a period from 6 to 8 weeks. We work at the C-level time. So sometimes the C-level team might have a lot of time, which it's rare, but we are cognizant of that. So we will take the 10 or 12 hours throughout as needed. Normally, the heaviest time that it's needed by the C-level team will be at the beginning, because we're trying to understand where is this company at and where are they heading to.
You know, every region has strengths, weaknesses. As you look at this region, what companies here sort of maybe have a leg up in a particular area? What are we good at in this area? You were mentioning a company that's making robots. Generally speaking, are there categories of types of companies that seem to be doing well and have potential for significant growth in this local economy?
Well, I'm going to defer to Pat, because we actually used a list that he had from the state of Ohio to help us focus our target clusters for these types of businesses.
Yeah.
And
So,
Pat, you can probably answer that question best.
Yeah. I think we're really good in things where, you know, engineering and IT are involved. We're good with sensors. We're really good with aerospace, biomedical.
Good with sensors.
Good with sensors.
Meaning?
Yes.
Barcodes that get applied.
Yeah, you could do that. Kroger's, the things that they, you know, UPCs and things like that, you know, and the data that can come from that. Yeah. You know, your little Kroger Plus card right now.
They know everything about you.
They know what you've bought the last umpteen years you've been at the store and when you shop.
And they know where to move the product to so that it was best for them, and I can't find it anymore too.
Oh, absolutely. But they also know where you live and how far you travel to the store, you know, your timeliness, that sort of thing. We're also good with materials, you know, things that go into jet airplanes, you know, that go into the braking systems, that go into propulsion. I think there's some really good things that are going on with the University of Cincinnati with their research institute. You know, they now have a front door, you know, and that's a great front door for us to have. And I think that's something that we're going to be able to leverage.
Are you talking about the new center on Reading Road?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And the things that are around that, because it's not just the, you know, hey, access to research, but it's also access to some startups. You know, and things that are going on there. So I think that's you know, those are some things that the state of Ohio is really good at. And also when you drill down to, you know, the Cincinnati area, you know, CPG, consumer products, you know, Procter & Gamble's still very, very good at what they do. And Kroger's very, very good at what they do. But you'd be amazed at kind of the life science side of things, some of the, you know, the drug development that's going on here. You know, let's leverage Children's Hospital. Better.
Yeah, well, the whole bioscience area seems really
is fantastic. So, you know, we're not trying to recreate anything. We're trying to build on what we're really good at. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are some of the areas that we're really good at.
So you're looking for 10 companies that will be initially engaged in this process. Are you reaching out and identifying the ones that you want? Or are you opening this up and saying, come find us?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
We have reached out to all of our stakeholders that we spoke with during our research. So they're our first points of referrals. But we are opening it to any innovative company that it's in this area. Now, I do want to make a clarification because, like I said, we're looking at into a bigger vision. We want to be that hub, and not just for those 10 companies, but we want to be that hub for the second stage companies, especially because of our experience with it, with the innovative ones. So we are really looking to, the 10 companies is only the portion on the technical assistance, but we're really trying to create that network that is going to be including those that might not be innovative. So we want to be able to provide some support for those too.
And I'll just add, we are accepting applications until July 15th. And I think at the end, Carla's going to give her email address and our website so that people can find us.
And that's also can be found on our website.
Okay.
All of that contact information
Great.
Can be found on our website as well. But, okay, so you are waiting to see who comes in, but you're also obviously got some ideas of who you want, maybe graduates of.
Well, we're talking to our partners. You know, we're talking to the Cincy Techs and Centrifuges of the world. Okay, we're talking to the regional chambers that are out here. We're talking to our communities. I mean, we're plugged in
to the accelerators.
You know, the accelerators. But it, you know, but the interesting thing that $1 million revenue and that 10 employee threshold, those are firm numbers. You know, we have to be. You know, that's what we want, and that's what our partners in this program want us to be.
And I'll just add, we also reached out to some of our major corporations. So we reached out to Children's Hospital, GE, Procter & Gamble, to kind of get their advice and direction on where they think we should focus on trying to find these second stage companies, because a lot of these second stage companies support big corporations like P&G, GE, Children's Hospital. They, you know, they're their suppliers or they are in their supply chain. So
yeah, so those companies know who's doing the innovative work.
Exactly.
Yes.
So does it make any difference what the field is? Does it make any difference whether it's a manufacturing company or a branding company or an IT company?
It does not. We actually are looking for a diverse group.
Okay.
We're looking to the industry is not specific. We're rather the innovation. It can be on your product. It can be on your service. It can be on your delivery. So how are you doing better what others are not doing? And that's what we're looking at. If you have that niche very established and you are doing innovative things and you are within that range number, we want to know from you.
Okay. Well, this is really exciting that you've taken on this new program. And I can say personally, having been around the incubator over the years and had any number of friends who have had companies there, this has been a really important organization in our community that a lot of people don't know about, but it's really exciting just to walk through the halls and meet the people who are already working with you. And now if you're going to take it to the next stage, congratulations. So thank you for everything you're doing. And thank you, Carla Boldry, Pat Longo, and Harry Blanton for being with us today. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.